And it's time for the FM Talk 106.5 Offshore Fishing Report with Blake Michaleski from the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, brought to you by HMS Marine Electronics, home of Garmin, featuring the Garmin 8600 one-touch setting up to 24 inches and the Garmin 7600 dual-chirp sonar with clear view and side view scanning. Visit HMSMarineElectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, your local online retailer with all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more. Welcome back to the show and the report here. Blake, what's up, man?
Oh, Sean, it's been a busy summer of fishing. You know, the big fish continues. It's the Blue Marlin Grand Championship was the big talk.
Yeah, we got a lot to talk about here. We got two big tournaments that have happened since last we talked.
Absolutely.
And, yeah, the first one, it kind of set the stage for people. You've been telling us throughout the months about the reputation the Northern Gulf Coast has gotten, not just because, I mean, I think about it, but we're here. I'm a homer. I live here.
Right.
You're saying we've got a reputation as a fishing destination that people know about outside of the Gulf Coast, let alone outside our country.
Absolutely. And one way to kind of to show that is Marlin Magazine does a Marlin University event where they go around to different destinations in the world to like teach people angling skills when it comes to marlin fishing. You know,
okay.
Hooking your own fish on, say, circle hooks and things like that. Well, they added Venice, Louisiana as one of the worldwide fishing destinations.
Pretty cool.
Yeah. And there's not a thing in Venice but fishing.
That's right.
You know, it's what a great place. You know, what a unique, you know, situation that creates with the river dumping out into muddy water up against cobalt blue.
And and it was getting that reputation. What we've known here for a long time, people are learning about around the country. And that showed up in the Blue Marlin Grand Championship, too, because this isn't just a regular fishing tournament. This is, I mean, there's big money around a lot of big game fishing, but this baby's big
right.
money.
Yeah, it's not one of our tournaments, but we work close with a lot of these guys.
Y'all tolerate them?
We do. we put up with Jim Cox long enough, best we can. Yeah, we love the guy. You know, and they bill it as the greatest show in sport fishing, and it really is a major production, and they do a good job.
Yeah, it is a show. I mean,
it's a show.
It's done for, obviously, the anglers and the teams, but it's done for an audience.
Right, absolutely.
Which is actually probably good long-term. More people see what the sport's all about.
Absolutely. And then they start to realize how accessible it actually is. Maybe
we're
not
right
on
here.
That
yeah.
level.
Right.
For every guy, but you have instances where they can get out, and we'll touch on a little bit. I like to talk about the fall fishing coming up, where you can take your little boat.
The fish don't care what kind of boat you're in.
No, they don't. You know, some people may argue that, but they really don't.
So let's look at the let's go back to a couple weeks ago, and the marlin that came in that tournament. What did you think? What's your take on it?
The big fish continue. There were some, and it's getting to the point now where it's like, oh man, if it's not over seven, that's not, and it's like it's not a big fish anymore because they're just.
I remember when that number was 450.
Right.
It was,
right.
You know,
it was, like 106 inch fish or so. Well, Team Shockwave did it with a 795.6 pound blue marlin, which was well over 800 when it was caught. My buddy Austin Blakeney, he caught that fish. They said it was a great fight, great fish. Gulf Coast favorite, Katie Gonslin on the Done Deal. She did it again. Very young lady angler, very accomplished lady angler. They weighed in with a 640.8. And then Rick Olson on the Breathe Easy with a 598.2. So top three places were right there at 600 and up.
Some big chunks.
And not only that, but Done Deal also managed to, before they killed their one fish, they were able to release four other blue marlin and a white, so they also took catch and release.
That's the untold story too, you know, on TV and with the coverage. You're going to see, of course, the fish that comes in, the ones that are killed, but the story to get us excited about fishing out there, the four before that.
Absolutely. Yeah getting out there, the there's plenty of fish. They'll find a lot of small fish around, you know, and they'll wade through these smaller fish, and then finally they find the one. And it works out real well when you can catch several small ones first, because they do kind of a combined deal with points on between the kill marlin and the catch and release. And that actually launched that let Done Deal seal the deal on the Gulf Coast Triple Crown series. So
explain the Triple Crown to folks.
There's five tournaments on the Northern Gulf that are, I say, the pro series. It really is. They're all 5,000 plus entry fee tournaments. And so, you know, it starts in Orange Beach, goes to Venice, then to Mississippi, Destin, and then back to Orange Beach. And so this wrapped up, and they're the first ones to have won it three times now.
Wow.
So they're
legacy.
They are. They're and they have quickly become a Gulf Coast favorite. Captain Jason Buck runs a really great operation there. Boat owner John Goslin, he really has put together a great crew and some really good people and some really incredible fishermen.
Yeah, you talk about the crew being so important. I mean, you do it three times here. Not only are you good at raising fish and then getting those fish to bite, but you're obviously very good at landing those fish. You're right. Very efficient. You don't make mistakes to do
that's
this
exactly
three times.
Right, Sean, because I say anyone can go out there and get a bite, mm-hmm. but can you get the fish to the boat? And that takes – it takes experience, and it takes – losing some and lessons learned, and they've been there and done. They've been fishing together for a long time. I've seen these guys on this boat for you know, and it's, they rotate through several different people, but I keep seeing the same faces. They know right. who's who.
The pro team.
That's right. The big tuna continued. Larry Wireman was the angler. He got a 192. So I mean, there it continues.
Big yellowfin,
big ones. You know, and all the way down to 158 for third place. For El Gancho, one of our buddy Bobby, he Ashley Faulkner was actually the angler on that one. But she's another very accomplished female angler on the Gulf Coast.
That's awesome to
yeah,
hear.
I mean, we have a lot of them.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
Absolutely, the big dolphin continued.
Yeah,
I mean, has this not been what a year for a dolphin?
It
I
has
mean,
been.
It's okay. 45, 42, and 39. There's your top three. I mean, it's incredible.
I don't think that happened at all last year. I don't know that.
There were some tournaments where there were none weight.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Let alone big weights, there were no dolphin
right,
weight.
Right, right. And it's been a really interesting thing how this has gone on. We were talking about the money in this, and mm-hmm. the big money. To put some numbers to it, the top money winners in the Grand Championship, Dundeal, of course, coming up on top with a – and it depends on how you get in the optionals, the Calcuttas, however you want to – whatever you want to call them.
Right.
$612,000 for Team Dundeal. $371,000 for Shockwave and Breathe Easy checked in with right under $250,000.
I mean, this kind of money is, and it's probably why you get the great crews and the great. Yeah. There's such a possible payoff.
Right, and the, especially like you know the Dundeals and they've been doing it so long and they're so confident in themselves. They have no problem going across the board on these categories, and because a lot of times they end up in the money, and they've been able to finance this operation with this. Yeah, they've been able to take these winnings and keep putting it in the boat and in the crew and
oh, that's
the tackle
awesome.
And you know, it's not just the you know, and the captain and the crew, they get their cut too.
Right.
But the owner, he'll just keep putting it back into the operation. And that's so they've got it dialed in. They've got the best equipment. That boat is it's a 70 Viking and probably one of the most custom built Vikings there are. He was.
What do you say custom for Vikings, engines or interior?
It's
or
a
what?
Production boat, and so, well, things like tuna tube setups.
Okay,
the boat has a ridiculous amount of tuna tubes. It's got all the it's I say custom in terms of how it's spec'd out.
Okay,
in terms of electronics, yes, engines. You know, and say Vikings a production boat, but the captain was there and involved through the whole build. So
gotcha.
Every little thing that he wanted to be a certain way, he got.
This is and that you know that kind of stuff. Those little things, the little adjustments, are why you're probably talking about one team versus another.
Right. You know, there is a name. That name keeps coming up in the Gulf Coast.
That's for sure. Let's talk about what happened this last weekend.
Oh man, the rodeo.
Yeah, Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Let me say this: where we might have had great conditions many times this summer, except for one of y'all's tournaments, you had to move. But I mean, we've had some pretty good offshore conditions. Half of the rodeo Friday and half of Saturday was okay. I'll tell you right now, Saturday midday through Sunday, that joker got rough.
It was bad. It was out of the west, very hard. I was in Louisiana at my river camp, and it blew all the water out because it ties into Lake Pontchartrain and Marpaw. Well, yeah. It pushed it all out, and man, we couldn't do anything.
I mean, blowing the dog off the chain. I was on Dolphin Island, and I mean, it was you could lay inside and listen to it blowing, you know, wind blowing on the outside of the house. It was coming up. It was small craft advisory, blowing, like you said, west down the island, chopping things up. So seems like a lot of, you know, even though there were fish and big game come that were weighed in on Sunday, I think a lot of the probably fish and fishing they did was probably Friday, Saturday.
Right, and it looks like it was a lot of inshore competition on the inshore side of this, and not so much on the, I think there were two tuna weighed, two yellowfins.
Yep. That's a sign of that weather.
Right, but really interesting, the red snapper finished out All 25, top three places, 0.66, 0.63, 0.49
yes.
after a 25. So that's really good competition there, and it makes for exciting weigh-ins. And slot reds, shout out to my buddy Barney White on second place there. That's a hard one to find. These are slot reds. And to find one that's over 7 pounds is doing good, especially around here.
Yeah, that's one of the things, too. People who haven't been around that game, fish, redfish circuit or something, they don't. So the idea here, y'all, if you're not redfish, of course, your redfish are going to be, they're slot-sized fish. Even though Alabama is a little different than Louisiana, they're slot-sized fish. So you can't just go catch the biggest redfish. You have to catch the biggest redfish within the slot. So you need one that may have a gut.
Yeah, right.
A little extra pounds on them, you know?
Right, ones that like to eat like we do.
That's right. Ones just push back from the dinner table when you get a hook in them. So, yeah, it's another nuance to the game compared to like a bass tournament, right, where you're going to catch just the biggest bass you can. In this, you got to catch the biggest but not over.
Right. It makes for a totally different strategy. If you just want a big bull red, you could go bump a croaker on Dixie Bar and do that.
But that's not the game.
That's not this. This is sight fishing, like saying that one over there looks like the one.
That one's rotating.
That's it. And it's good to see some tarpon were released. Tarpon have been around. I went to Gulf State Pier last week and got to see a few rolling around. I didn't have no lookers, but
I may or may not have seen them twice now rolling south of Dolphin Island.
Right, and I know I'm pretty certain I saw one blow through a school of mullet on Fort Morgan Beach. That was really cool. I was down there with my fly rod chasing bull reds in the surf, sight fishing.
Oh, wow.
And I saw the big silver fish come through the mullet school,
the tarpon are, and it's interesting too what they're doing. So one of those teams, a couple of my buddies, Hayden Olds there, and Brad, they were fishing together, and they had a chase boat from the rodeo. So when they catch a tarpon to release, C-Lab folks would put a transponder in them.
Right, the sat tags. Right, that was very interesting.
So I could probably even pull up the text from over the weekend when he said, "Hey, we caught this fish or whatever this morning," and then he said, "By the way, they just pinged from the lighthouse, and they were fishing down towards where you fish, and then an hour or something later, he said, "We just got the ping back, and it's passing the lighthouse."
Wow, so they're really on the move.
Yeah,
and that's just it. These fish are coming through, and oftentimes they're hungry. They've made a long journey, but it's when will they bite? When do they get hungry?
Well, exactly? Okay, that's the question. Are they, when they're moving like that, and are they just traveling, or are they traveling and eating?
Yeah, and sometimes it's both. The ones around the Gulf State Pier, they seem like they'll linger around a little bit. And
do you think it's just
food.
Activity there?
And there's a lot of bait around it. Same thing with Four Seasons Pier down there, that private pier at the condo. It tends to have some in the vicinity as well. But that game's going to start shifting from the Baldwin beaches and more into Mobile Bay as we get later in the summer. Right now, while you're out chasing triple tail in the bay, you're going to start seeing tarpon in the bay as well.
One of the things that will happen here, I think this transition, at least for me, is going to be expedited for focusing more on tarpon because, as of last Sunday, no more snapper. Six weeks early, it's over. And that's one of those things that in reality does distract me from chasing some of the other fish because I, like so many Gulf anglers, could take half my day at least, if not the whole day, to run out there and catch. And, my children like it, my nieces and nephews, and it's a good, easy trip for everybody.
It is, and it's great family fish. Right. It's unfortunate.
Versus telling them to wait on a tarpon and watch them get bored.
Right. That's not the way to get a kid interested in fishing. Right. It's
now
the tarpon fishing.
Dropping for
you
snapper
wait till you get older and a little on the crazy side of you're out here chasing a tarpon. Something you can't eat is what I always hear from people. Like, can't eat one of those. I'm like, well, I'm still mad at them.
Right. So. And I agree. I think it takes a little longer to develop that in an angler. And so early on, I'm trying to build fishing machines and snapper and speckled trout
When I sold tackle, Sean, I said there's two people who fish. There's fishermen and people who like to fish.
Yes.
And so I think the people who like to fish, let's get them on. They want to catch.
Yes.
They like catching.
Yes.
Everybody
likes
catching. I enjoy fishing. The catching's the bonus.
Yeah, that is well said. Hey, let's talk about going forward here. What's happening with Mobile Big Game Fishing Club?
Well, this weekend we've got the Billfish Limited going on. It's our small.
So how's that work? Yeah.
It's the small boat tournament, the monkey boats. So we're 32 foot, not necessarily all monkey boats. So if you have an inboard boat, it can be 32 foot and under. And so these Carolina Classics and some of these little small Cabos can compete as well, but no length limit on the outboard boats, which we may have to go address that at some point. We may not.
Right, because it used to not be a thing. They were self-limiting. You know, you would say, okay, well, whatever outboard boat. But in those days, there weren't so many 39s.
Hydrosports has a 65-foot
yeah, I saw a picture
outboard
of that
powered, which is getting on the little on the ridiculous side. But for practical purposes around here, 42 Freeman is hard to compete with.
Yes,
you know,
sir.
Or something like that that can blast, can go to Greens Canyon
yep.
and get to clean water. So that's what we're – the problem is we're looking at some dirty water this weekend, but incredible weather looking, you know, setting
right.
up. And so – but off to the east, the water looks pretty good, and that's where I think you're going to see some fish release. We don't have there's no kill division in this tournament, but there is a catch and release division, and I fully expect to see some wahoos and dolphins from over that way, but also white marlin and other small billfish, plenty of and even sailfish over that way.
We'll have to do this when you come back next week. We'll have to talk about the fall fishing and white marlin, those kind of things. Remind folks who want to get more information about the Mobile Big Game Fishing Club, they go where?
You can go to the website. It's mbgfc.org, or you can find us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/themBGFC.
Thank you, man.
Awesome.
All right, Blake Michaleski joining us. Remember, Offshore Fishing Report brought to you by hey, Macklin, what's up? I saw you down there at the Blue Marlin Grand Championship. Macklin Smith and the folks at HMS Marine Electronics, home at Garmin, featuring the Garmin 8600, one-touch setting up to 24 inches, and the Garmin 7600 dual-chirp sonar with clear view and side view scanning. Visit hmsmarineelectronics.com or on Facebook, HMS Marine Electronics, your local online retailer with all the price savings and perks of the big box stores and more.